Welcome to the AquariMax Audio Show with Russ and Kelly. We provide information on all kinds of aquarium-related topics. This is episode 9, recorded April 15th, 2009.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show this week. We're going to be talking about Neocaridina heteropoda, which is commonly known as the red cherry shrimp. So Russ is going to give us a bit of an introduction to that first.
Yeah, this shrimp is pretty common, pretty popular as an aquarium shrimp, and there are a lot of reasons for that. One thing I'd like to point out, though, is that the scientific name, now Neocaridina heteropoda, if I pronounce that correctly, used to be Neocaridina denticula sinensis, but it's changed in recent years or been corrected or whatever. I'm not going to get into taxonomy too much here, but the common name that most people are familiar with is the red cherry shrimp, but that is only one color variety of this particular shrimp. The wild color variety is sometimes known as the wild cherry or the Taiwan blue shrimp. And that is, in fact, the first variety of this shrimp that I have had, and I still do have. So.
And those ones aren't actually red.
They're not actually red. They're more, depending on various things, they do change color quite a bit, but you get them sometimes with a little sort of black or gray on them, or sort of a pinky transparent color, or sometimes kind of greenish, various things like that.
Okay.
So, I actually had one time that had eaten something and was glowing faintly in the dark through its transparent skin because of the decomposition that was occurring in its digestive tract. That was a one-time thing. I've never seen it again, but that was bizarre. I usually don't get glowing shrimp.
I remember that. It was cool.
Yeah. And very unusual. Okay, so like I said, there's a couple of different color varieties, but all of the care and breeding, everything, applies basically the same to every color variety.
Okay, great. So who should keep these guys?
Well, people with planted tanks really like to keep these. They do best in planted tanks, I think. I mean, you can maintain them in non-planted tanks, but they do best in planted tanks because they're kind of sensitive to things like ammonia in the water. And a planted tank, if it's properly balanced, tends to have low ammonia in the water because, no measurable ammonia is what it should have. And that's best for the shrimp because they're quite sensitive to it. And planted tanks tend to be good that way. They improve the water quality. And, of course, the shrimps provide the benefit of removing algae. They eat quite a few different varieties of algae. They're good at removing it in large quantities. They can keep a tank pretty clean. And so they're great for planted tanks. They also add interest, of course, with their interesting behavior. They're fun to watch as they go along and pick at algae with their little chelipeds or little
claws. So they're really
claws.
Good for somebody looking for a good algae crew or is having an algae problem.
Right. Depending on the tank mates in the tank. But some people just keep these shrimp by themselves, and they really do very well that way. They'll reach a high population density in a planted tank with no other macro organisms besides plants, no other invertebrates or fish in the tank, and they work all right that way. But they will work in certain situations with fish as well, as we'll see later as we discuss tank mates and breeding.
Okay, well, you talked just a little bit about setup for them now. Is there anything else we need to know, like how many gallons? I mean, they're pretty small, so...
They are quite small. I would say that the minimum tank, and I think many people would agree, the minimum size tank for most people, at least when you're starting out, would be about 10 gallons. I have maintained them successfully in smaller tanks. I have a few in a 5-gallon right now, and there's nothing wrong with that as long as you can maintain the water quality in the tank. But I think 10 gallons is good to start out with, and then you can get a pretty good number of them going once they start breeding in a 10-gallon tank. But I've had them in anything from, a couple of gallons to 37 gallons. They'll fit. And the stocking level, well, basically the best thing to do with stocking level in a tank is to get enough of them to start breeding. At least a dozen or so is good, and then let them sort of reach a stabilized population, right?
Okay.
But the stocking level can be pretty high, especially if you don't have any other creatures in there with them that will tend to thin them out.
What do they eat?
Well, they are omnivores, They do have, like I said, an appetite for algae, and they'll eat a lot of it. The first ones that I got, it was in Hawaii, and I had read an article that this species of shrimp had been released and that feral populations had started in Hawaii before I moved there. So I was interested in finding out more about that when I got there. And I was in a pet store not long, maybe a week or so after arriving, and found that they were selling shrimp, something like 10 for a dollar. And I suspected that this was the species in question. They didn't look like the typical ghost shrimp that you'll find for similar prices on the mainland. They didn't resemble them at all, and so I figured I would try them, and I purchased some, brought them home into this aquarium that I had that had a little bit of algal growth in it, and they immediately attacked the algae, and I could literally see them wiping areas clean of this soft fuzzy algae that was growing on the decorations and so on in the tank. So I figured, oh, this probably was the right shrimp, and later on I found out that was indeed the case. And so they eat algae, and they do it quite efficiently with most types. There are some types they won't eat quite as well. They're not as into the hairy sorts of algae that, you know, can sometimes be a problem, or the sort of beardy type algae or staghorn algae. I haven't had as much success with those sorts of things, but any kind of green, filmy, or fuzzy algae they tend to go for. And they will eat some of the other ones too, some occasions. But as far as feeding them, other than that, they'll take basically any kind of fish food that they can get a hold of, frozen, live, flake, pellet, whatever. Algae chips, they're very fond of algae chips of any kind. They'll also eat vegetables, the similar kinds that other that herbivorous fish will eat, such as, you know, bristlenose plecostomus, things like zucchini and you know, green beans, shelled peas, all those things that are typically fed to plecos and so on will be relished by these little shrimp. Although the quantities, you know, you want to make sure you keep them fairly small because the shrimp are small, and so they don't go through all that much food. But you know, anything else they'll like, they'll take little bits of dried nori, little seaweed used for making sushi. They'll take little bits of that too, and that is supposedly good for helping them to molt properly and so on because of the trace amounts of iodine that are in that, or things like that. So they're pretty omnivorous. They make a good cleanup crew for tanks with small, inoffensive fish.
So you just started talking about that. Tell us more about what kind of tank mates you can or cannot have with the red cherry shrimp.
Okay, well, this may sound strange, and I've heard some people say that you can hardly keep anything with them. But I've found that, and keep in mind, I have both color varieties, both the red cherry variety and the natural or the blue variety, as it's sometimes called, although it's not really that blue in most cases. Once in a while it looks kind of blue, but usually it's sort of transparent. I've kept both kinds. I've never kept the red cherry variety with other fish, really, but I've kept the natural colored variety, the wild cherry shrimp, with other kinds of fish, including, in fact, fairly large goldfish, and they have bred in such conditions. That's the largest fish I've kept them with. Of course, in those conditions, they were planted tanks with quite a few areas for refuge. And so, with that in mind, you know, a tank of goldfish without a lot of places to hide, they would soon be snacks. But if they do have a large amount of hiding areas in bushy plants and under rocks and that sort of thing, they do okay, and they will breed in such conditions. At least for me, they have, but not in large numbers, of course. But some of the fish that I've kept them with that have allowed them to breed in fairly large numbers, white cloud mountain minnows, don't seem to bother them very much. They reproduce.
I guess the white clouds wouldn't be that much bigger than the shrimp.
Yeah, they're not that much bigger than the shrimp, and white clouds usually don't even bother their own fry, which are very teeny. At least they don't bother them that much. And so they do fine. They'll breed and increase in numbers with white clouds in the tank. I've kept them with other fish as well. I've kept them with guppies and neon. They do well with neon tetras. They'll breed for me with neon tetras.
So they're okay with
With
small
fairly
fish.
small fish, and it depends on the type of fish too. With guppies, they do Less well. They will live, the adults will live, and you will get a few babies. In my experience, I have a 20-gallon high with quite a few guppies in it. It's fairly heavily planted, mostly with Anubias and Java moss, and the shrimp reproduce, but in fairly small numbers. So they tend to sustain a low-density population in that tank, and I see babies that, slowly grow up and so on, but the numbers don't really increase. They kind of maintain this fairly low population in that tank. I have some with my African clawed frog, and I'm not talking about African dwarf frog. I'm talking about the larger African clawed frog that are reproducing, and they're doing
Again, they
fine.
have plenty of places to hide.
Again, they have lots of places to hide. One thing I've done in there are quite a few terracotta pots that are upside down with just kind of a little chip out of the rim so that it forms a cave, since the pot is inverted. A cave with an opening small enough that the frog cannot enter, but the shrimp can. Things like that in the tank that help them to hide. So I think that's part of the reason they're breeding in there. And I have another tank with bristlenose plecos. It's a breeding tank for bristlenose plecos. It also has the cherry shrimp in there, and they're breeding like crazy. Of course, bristlenose plecos are not very carnivorous. They don't like to chase food down and catch it. So that may be the reason there. I've noticed, and I was quite prepared for this, but I've noticed that dwarf puffers tend to be fine with the shrimp for a while and then attack them. And I had known that, having studied dwarf puffers before purchasing those. And I have those partly for snail control, but they will control your shrimp too. So watch out for that. Don't try to keep them in there with them. Although, interestingly enough, they don't seem to bother the Amano shrimp, but they do bother in my experience, but they do bother the red cherries. And that's, like I said, not really a surprise. Betas, the same thing. I have a 5-gallon tank with one female betta, two African dwarf frogs, and some of these shrimp. The shrimp live fine. They reproduce. None of the babies appear to be growing up, which, again, is not a surprise with
The
a
beta
betta,
is
and
gonna,
the African dwarf frogs in there are going to
they're
be
all gonna get some snacks.
eating the babies, right? But there are quite a few things they'll do well with. Basically, small, inoffensive fish, neons, white clouds, and so on, do all right with them.
Okay. As far as breeding the shrimp goes, what can you tell us?
Well, other than what I've already told you, which basically, if you keep them by themselves
You
or
don't
with really
disagree.
inoffensive fish, they will breed. Some people tend to maintain that iodine added to the water in very small, safe quantities. Iodide, which is an ionic form of iodine that's much safer to add than iodine. You'd never want to add the antiseptic type of iodine. That would be very, very dangerous and toxic for them. But you can get reef iodide, which is in a safe form, but you still have to be careful with that kind of thing. But you add it in extremely small quantities, like a drop in a 20-gallon tank at every other water change kind of thing. Some people maintain that's necessary. Other people say it's not. I went for a long time just occasionally supplementing their diet with the dried seaweed, the nori flakes, the ones, not the flakes, but nori sheets, just taking off small bits of that and tossing it in every week or two, seemed to do fine for me. I don't know if while I was doing that was increasing the frequency with which they're breeding, but that's entirely anecdotal. I don't have any empirical evidence to back it up, and there are other people who will maintain that it's not necessary, and it may not be. I've gone for quite a long time without giving them any of the nori, and they've done fine. But it does seem to me that they breed a little faster when they have it.
All right.
But as long as you keep out predators, they will breed. And it's an interesting process, like many shrimp that you may be familiar with. The females carry the eggs after laying them on their undersides with the little swimmerettes they have there in their abdomen. And they carry them, and you can see them kind of fanning them, oxygenating them, and so on. And in the red cherry shrimp, the eggs tend to be yellow, like a bright yellow. In the wild color variety, the eggs are not very. It's about the same color as the adults, a little darker, but about the same. And they'll carry those around for several weeks, and finally one day they'll drop them. And unlike some shrimp, which have a planktonic stage, babies float around for a while. A couple of the other varieties of shrimp I've bred have that sort. But these have babies that are immediately miniature replicas of the adults. They do not have a floating planktonic stage. They're immediately
Oh.
crawling around on the surface of the glass walls or on the plants or on the substrate immediately, which I think is one of the reasons why they're so easy to breed, because planktonic shrimp tend to be very vulnerable. But while they're crawling around and they can already hide and fend for themselves, they're a lot better able to protect themselves from predators and avoid bumping into things, trying to reach the light and things like that. So, very easy.
Good. Is there any kind of troubleshooting information that we need to know?
As far as troubleshooting, just make sure you keep the water quality up. Partial, frequent water changes. Planted tanks if you can. That will help keep the water water quality up. 20%, twice a week is good. You can even go a little higher than that, and that wouldn't hurt anything. But I haven't had any real problems with them. They generally, once I introduce them into a tank, as long as there aren't any predators in there, as soon as I have done that, they immediately begin to be very comfortable and start to breed. You do want to make sure you start out with a large enough number of shrimp to make sure you have some genetic mixing going on. You don't want to inbreed them by starting out with just two or something like that. So a large population to start out with is a good idea. And you do need to make sure that you don't mix color varieties if you don't want them to interbreed. If you put red ones with normal colored shrimp or wild colored shrimp, they will interbreed. There are no barriers there as far as the shrimp are concerned, and that will tend to dilute the red coloration of the red ones within a few generations, and so watch for that. Other than that, enjoy. They're great at removing algae, and they're fun and interesting to watch, and just enjoy them.
Okay, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Aquarimax Audio Show. For additional episodes, please visit aquarimax.com. For comments and/or questions, please email us at info@aquarimax.com.